20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
It is the Monday edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. How you doing, everybody? What a way to start your week. I'm Alex Strof. You can find me on Twitter at Alex_Strof. I'm joined by another underscore and one of the best in the biz, the great Perry Goldstein. You can find her on Twitter at Perry_Goldstein. Hi, Perry. It's been a minute.
Hi, Alex. You're back. So happy to have you back.
It's good to be back. It's been a while since I've done one of these episodes, since we were still in draft season in the beginning of this Aaron Rodgers saga that is ongoing, obviously. So it's been a crazy month or so since I've done an episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I don't think I missed anything too big, right?
No. There's no news. There's nothing going on with the Green Bay Packers. It's the most boring offseason ever.
Exactly. No shortage of content the last couple of weeks here for the pod. But Perry, it's a Monday. It's the beginning of mandatory OTAs this week. There's still always craziness going on in the NFL. They never take a day off. And Sunday was certainly no exception. As it happened, Julio Jones traded to the Tennessee Titans. And there were some rumors around those two teams maybe making a deal for the last week or so. But now it is official as Julio Jones goes to Nashville, Tennessee to pair up with a really fun offense. They are in Tennessee. The Falcons get a 2022 second-round pick, a 2023 fourth-round pick, and then in return give up a sixth-round pick in 2023. So that is the compensation for that trade. But obviously, we knew the domino would eventually fall, Perry. It finally did on Sunday. What was the initial reaction for you of Julio Jones to Tennessee?
I like the trade. I think it's pretty even. You weren't going to get as amazing, and he's one of the best to ever do it. Julio is, I think, kind of on the wrong side of 30 and a few injuries, so it made sense that they didn't get a first. I'm just a little bit surprised about what the Falcons are doing. I'm not really sure what they're trying to do out here, but Julio is obviously done and ready to go, and I like that the organization sort of respected his wishes and sent him to a team. Obviously, they shopped him outside the NFC, which makes sense, but they sent him to a contender in the Titans, and that offense, just as you said, got even more exciting and explosive. Him and A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry, like, what a trio. So I'm excited to watch it, and again, just glad he's out of the NFC, because that obviously bodes well for the Packers.
Exactly, right? He's not a Bear, Lion, or Viking, so that's a win in and of itself, but overall, right, you mentioned it. This offense, super, super explosive already. They add now a Hall of Fame wide receiver to that core. So it's going to be fun to see how the push that Tennessee makes in the not-so-competitive AFC South. Obviously, Indianapolis, pretty good as well. But those are the two real contenders out of that division right now. So it's a big pickup for Tennessee. Like you said, Julio Jones gets his wishes. The Falcons respect it and trade him out. But you mentioned it, right? We don't really know what the MO is now for the Falcons. Is this kind of the beginning of a total rebuild?
Yeah, I think so. It seems that way. It looks like they're kind of building up picks. I mean, I'm surprised that they didn't trade out of the number four spot and instead took Kyle Pitts because, Matt Ryan, I think, is also kind of at the tail end of his career. So it may be the beginning of a rebuild. But they're definitely in a kind of confusing and odd spot. And the NFC South is pretty wide open for the taking also. But now, obviously, I think they've taken themselves out of contention.
Yeah, I think so as well, right? I mean, Atlanta, been a clear downfall since that Super Bowl meltdown a couple of years back. It's really funny how the NFL works, because Atlanta's been one of those perfect examples, right, of how you could be at the top of the conference and now, pick number four just a couple of years later. Now you lose your franchise player in Julio Jones. An absolute meltdown ever since it was that Super Bowl lead that they blew to Tom Brady.
Yeah, and now he's in their division, ironically. Yeah, I mean, I just think it's interesting because the Bucs are obviously the clear favorites naturally. You know, but the Saints are in a little bit of a rebuild, and the Panthers as well, with, you know, kind of swapping out, getting a new quarterback and a new head coach in his second year. So I thought it was an interesting division to watch, but now it just kind of feels like it'll be the Bucs and nobody else.
No, I'm right there with you. I don't know how much confidence I have in either Jameis Winston or Sam Darnold to beat out Tom Brady for that top seed in the division, rather. So, yep, that's the big news from Sunday. Julio Jones to the Titans. What are the expectations for the Titans now, Perry? How much does this change things for them?
I don't know how much. I mean, it definitely is an all-in move. And so I think it shows, you know, the team, the players, and the fan base that Tennessee's ready to win now. You know, you don't trade for Julio Jones unless you feel that way. You give Ryan Tannehill another weapon. So I think that they're going to, you know, contend, like you said, for their division. And if not for the conference, it's just like, in my mind, the AFC just keeps getting more and more stacked.
Yeah,
it's kind of tilting that way. And I know we'll probably bring this to the Packers at some point, but if anything, it just, when you send talent out of the NFC even more, it's making, if Aaron Rodgers returns, you know, more and more likely that it's kind of the Packers conference for the taking if they want it.
Mm-hmm. 100%. I mean, they obviously have been one of the best teams the last few years, and now that star players such as Julio Jones are leaving the conference, just leaves the door open that much more. But you mentioned it, and you referred to it as the Falcons respected Julio Jones's wishes. We have kind of a similar situation brewing in Green Bay, Perry, with Aaron Rodgers. You know, obviously all the reports, he doesn't want to return to Green Bay. He wants out. There was apparently destinations that were given to the Packers of maybe, you know, West Coast teams where Aaron Rodgers would want to go. Does this change anything for the Packers and Aaron Rodgers in your eyes?
No, not really. Mostly because Rodgers hasn't outright said to anybody in the media that he wants a trade or wants out of Green Bay. It's been all kind of he said, she said, third party reports, which is the opposite of Julio, right? He straight up told Shannon Sharp that he wants out. So I think that's like the biggest difference for me is he's like, nah, I'm out of there. And again, a wide receiver and a quarterback are a little hard to equate in this scenario also, whereas, you know, a wide receiver is obviously an important weapon, but he's not your franchise quarterback that you've had for 16 years. Mm-hmm. Although honestly, Julio, like you mentioned, he's like the franchise player. So I guess if there is one, you know, he's close enough, but I don't think that this is going to change Green Bay front offices' minds around any kind of desire to shop Aaron Rodgers. There's no way. I think they're just going to kind of dig in even more and see if he shows up in a day, since this will be coming out on the 7th, if he shows up on the 8th or not in training camp.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see. Personally, I still don't think Rodgers will be there on Tuesday, but we'll probably get into that here in a little bit. But to go back to that Julio Jones, Shannon Sharp situation, we haven't talked about this. Did he know he was on TV? I don't think he did.
I just can't see a way, if you have a relationship with someone, to blindside them like that. Like I want to put a little bit more faith in Shannon Sharp than that. You know, he's a professional, and if he has a personal relationship with Julio, you basically ruin that if you just bombard him. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
All right, then Julio, you know, who likes to stay out of the headlines, really made one a couple mm-hmm. of weeks back, but now he gets his wishes. He is out of there. A Tennessee Titan now is Julio Jones. Going to be a lot of fun to see what that offense is capable of here in the coming months. But Perry, let's transition. We're going to steal an idea from you and the great Maggie Loney that you guys did on PAX, what she said. A little over-under game. We're going to throw some over-unders, probably three each, at one another. In regards to, it could be anything from stats, it could be anything to wins, it could be anything regarding any player, anything's on the table here, Perry. I'm going to let you go first.
Oh, thank you. Okay, so my first one is, you know, we had rookie mini camps, we have, you know, voluntary OTAs, and everybody's talking about some of the new players on the team. Obviously, everyone wants to know how Bakhtiari looks, etc. But there's a very exciting new little fun chess piece for Matt LaFleur and Amari Rodgers. And I think there's like a certain level of expectation, at least it feels, Alex, like in the franchise, that Amari is going to have like an immediate impact on this offense. And so I'm wondering if he's going to have over under 500 yards. So I mean yards as in receiving or rushing, because I think he'll be used in a number of different ways, but over under 500 yards.
Yeah, obviously we can't count kick and punt returns because he is expected to do that potentially as well. But 500 yards, that's a fun little number. And, you know, there's so many unknowns with this offense. And we'll get into this a little bit more, obviously, right now with the Aaron Rodgers saga still kind of playing out. I'm going to go safe and I will take under, but I think he's in the ballpark, right? I think, you know, mid 400s, low 400s, mid 300s is certainly realistic. I hope he has an immediate impact. I hope he proves me wrong because he is what you alluded to as a fun little chess piece, this new addition to Matt LaFleur's offense. I actually had a question written for you about Amari Rodgers as well, because he really is, you know, polarizing thus far coming from such a great pro system, you know, in Clemson. But it'll be interesting to see what his role looks like day one versus, you know, week 18. I will go under, but I'm starting to talk myself out of it. So I think I might shut up. Great question. Amari Rodgers, though, the expectations do seem high for him right now. And I like it. I'm all for it.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of putting too much expectations on rookies because I think majority of the time you actually end up being let down. You know, you got to let them acclimate a little bit, but then you're also seeing, and play devil's advocate for my own thought, is you're also seeing that there are rookies that are making immediate impacts like more often in the last couple of seasons. Like you look at Justin Jefferson, he became wide receiver one for the Vikings immediately, basically. So that's obviously an extreme example, the first one that comes to mind, but I actually agree with you, Alex. I have the under there also, not because I don't think he can't have an impact, just because I think that, you know, the offense isn't going to center around him and he'll be a rookie. And there's a couple other weapons that, if it's Rodgers under center, obviously likes to throw too. So I think under, but he'll still be an impact player.
Yeah, I dig it. I think so too. And, you know, if he does kind of plug into that Swerve and Irvin role from last year, like a lot expect, he could certainly be a primetime player early for this LaFleur offense. So it'll be fun to see. Obviously, the Packers finally got a wide receiver in the draft. So it's exciting. We're all going to talk about it way too much. So let's stick with the rookies though, Perry. For my first one, Josh Myers out of Ohio State, the second round pick. Let's go. Game started at 12.5 over under for him. He could be the day one center.
I like that. It's hard, you know, just to caveat this answer is offensive line is not exactly my forte and I'm not at camp, although I will be at training camp. So I guess I'll get to see some of this in August, but I'm going to go over on that just from the way that the coaching staff have been speaking about him and from the very little tidbits, because I wish Andy Herman was here because he's actually been to practice so far, but from the tidbits that I've gained from him, it does sound like they are playing, putting Josh Myers a little bit with the ones right now, the starting five. So I'm going to go over.
I love it. I'm with you. I also think it's over. I think he's a day one starter. And, you know, I think some of that might depend on the health of David Bakhtiari.
Yeah.
He's ready to go week one. And, you know, you kind of mentioned it earlier, seeing him working out at OTAs and looking, you know, way ahead of schedule is super awesome. But beside the point, Josh Myers, you know, like I said, he could be a day one guy. I think they drafted him in that second round with, you know, the expectation he could be the day one guy or, you know, at least contribute early, you know, because they're dealing with that whole that Corey Linsley left behind. So I'm over with you. As long as he stays healthy, I think over 12.5 is easy money for him.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Okay, so I'm going to switch us to the defense side.
Sure.
And I think this is a fun one that Maggie and I talked about. We didn't end up doing it on PAX, which she said. But, you know, it's looking like, and I don't know if you agree with me or not, but it's looking like Rashawn Gary's about to be edge two, right? Preston's a little bit in a prove it year. Certainly his restructured contract makes it really feel that way. Not that I don't think he can bounce back, but it feels like Rashawn deserves those snaps. So I'm thinking over under Rashawn Gary 8 sacks on the season.
Ooh, I like that. That's a good number too. I'm not going to cop out and say even because I think that's a really good number. I will take the slight over. I think he'll go over 8 sacks. You know, he's only gotten better, if not with every week, with the 2 seasons he's been with Green Bay. It's a new system, so it'll be interesting to see what Joe Barry can do for the guys rushing the quarterback. But I like Rashawn. I like the development we've seen out of him. And like you said, I think we're going to see more opportunities for him in 2021 than we did in 2020. It does feel like a prove-it year for Preston. I think he can bounce back if this defense is really maxing out the potential we all think they have there in the middles. But I will go over 8, just a slight over, maybe 8.5, 9. But the expectations for me are high for Rashawn Gary. And, you know, that's just under half a sack a game, if I'm not mistaken. That was 17 games. So I think he can do it, Perry.
Yeah, I agree with you. 8 was like right at even. Like, I think like I wouldn't be surprised if he had 8 because he had, I think, 2 his first season, he had 5 last season. So then if you're going by that, you know, +3 logic, it's 8. But I think that he has more than proven that he deserves not just to start every game, but more snap count, more playing time. He's just improved the more that you see him out there. I agree that Joe Barry is definitely an interesting wrinkle, but Rashawn's, you know, that super freaky athlete that you can kind of move around, and then you have Z in there, and, you know, no matter what, with Preston and Kenny in there too, whoever's getting double teamed, you know anyone else can get home. And so I think Rashawn's going to have his kind of, you know, that third year in the league that where you finally put it all together.
Right.
I think that's about to be what we're going to see from him in 2021.
And the change of scenery coordinator-wise, right, could certainly be super beneficial for him. So it'll be fun to watch what this new system brings defensively. You know, typically what we've seen with the Packers the last, you know, several times they've made a change defensively, they usually come out really hot on defense to start the year. And I think they'll have a good opportunity to do that again this year with Joe Barry. Although there's a lot of criticism around the hire, and rightfully so. I do think, you know, with the pieces there, such as Rashawn Gary, they should be able to piece together a nice little run throughout the 2021 campaign. So I'm excited to see what we can get out of the number 52 this year. All right, I'm going to get to it. I could only go so long without asking you about Aaron Rodgers, Perry. So here we go. Snaps Aaron Rodgers plays for the Packers in the preseason. 0.5 over under.
0.5.
You like that?
That is so funny. What is that even? What even is a half a snap?
It's 0 or it's something.
It's 0 or he does something.
Yep.
Oh, Alex, hit me. Yeah, 0. I'm going to go under. I think even if he comes back, things are not really in that great of a place right now. And I can't see why he would put his body on the line during preseason, especially it's right third year in Matt LaFleur's offense. What is he going to get out of this except to maybe put some things together with the rookies? Like if he did he usually does what, a series in the first like 2 games, 1 game.
Maybe, right.
Right. So like going off that logic and then adding in what's been going on this offseason, I have it at under. And I also think like it feels like the Packers really want to see what they have in Jordan Love. And the easiest and kind of least controversial time to test out Jordan Love is preseason. So let Rodgers rest. If he's back, no reason to put him in, and let's, you know, let's get Love those snaps and see what he can do.
You know, I like the optimism. I figured you spun it optimistically, so I appreciate that.
Well, you know me,
choosing the under there. Yeah, it's a Perry Goldstein charm right there. But you're right with the Jordan Love take, right? I mean, they didn't get the preseason last year. He was inactive for every game last year. They want to see what they have with him in real time. And he's going to get a majority of the playing time in those 3 preseason games. That's going to be it's going to be Jordan Love watch. I mean, I'll tell you in advance, 3 months out, the Pack-A-Day podcast, the day after the first preseason game, is going to be evaluating Jordan Love's performance, because that's what everybody has been clamoring and waiting to see with this first round pick and what we think is the replacement to Aaron Rodgers at some point. So heavily criticized pick. I think he will be spending most of the time on the field during those three preseason games. But then we'll get some Blakey Bortles, too. We'll be pretty fired up about that because why wouldn't you be? Blake Bortles
right.
preseason. I mean,
You're
come
right.
on.
Maybe we'll get some Kurt Benkert also. Just throw them all in there. You know, it's funny that you say that, Alex. You obviously look at the schedule way further ahead than I do. But I am going to be at the Texans game, and I think Andy is also. So I guess you have to come to that preseason game.
I guess I do now. Jeez, it sounds like a party to me. I'm in.
Oh, great. Well, speaking of offense, okay, my last one for our over-under is, I think, tricky, so I'm sorry for leaving it for last. But I was thinking about this offense from 2020 and how it was the best, you know, obviously number one in the league. They were averaging, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was, I think, over 30 points for the season. And that's a high bar, right? Like, that's a high bar to reach. So I would be hard-pressed to imagine they'd be better. So I'm not going with that. But I think that this offense, obviously, even with some regression, could maybe still be top five in DVOA and points scored over under top five.
Ooh, okay. That is a little tricky. Now, obviously, a lot rides on the Aaron Rodgers thing. So that's what makes it even trickier, right? If he's there, no doubt in my mind, are they still a top five offense? I mean, they're only going to improve. They retain the best offensive lineman, assuming he's healthy and doesn't take you know, huge regression due to the ACL tear in David Bakhtiari. They got back the best free agent running back that was on the market in Aaron Jones. They still have Devontae. They had a guy like we talked about earlier in Amari Rodgers, where the expectations are high for him. And they bring back, you know, Bobby Tonyan signed his tender, what was that, last week or 2 weeks ago. So everybody's back for the most part. You've got to figure out what you're going to do at center. But other than that, you're feeling pretty good about this offense. So if Aaron Rodgers is there, no doubt in my mind they're a top five offense, Perry. If Aaron Rodgers isn't there, they still have the absolute potential to be because of all the reasons I just mentioned. However, the one big thing that's kicking in the ass is if Jordan Love is under center, or even if Blake Bortles is under center. I think that's the most unlikely, but still. I mean, if either of those guys are, for Jordan, it's obviously his first real raw time in a regular season game. And, you know, to lead a team like this, obviously he's set up well. This is still a very well-oiled machine. Matt LaFleur has been a magician ever since he's been hired for this Green Bay offense. But it's still a little bit sketchy. So I'll take a slight under if Aaron Rodgers isn't there, but I will easily take the over top five, right? Or the under top five because it's a lower number. Now I'm confused. but I will take a top five offense if Rodgers is there. I think that's probably the safe answer, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what I was thinking as well. I think Rodgers comes back easy top five in the league. I mean, it's not even really a question. Even with a regression, there's still room. But yeah, if Jordan Love is under center, you know, it'll really showcase, I think, Matt LaFleur's skill set. It was, you know, everyone last season said it's a very quarterback friendly system. He schemes guys open, allows the quarterback to stay in the pocket, don't need to do a lot of those fancy schmancy magician things, even though Rodgers still did some of them because he's Rodgers. So we'll get to see, you know, for a rookie, there'll be growing pains. But, you know, what does a different quarterback other than Aaron Rodgers look like in Matt LaFleur's offense? I do think that if it's Jordan Love, I would never expect the Packers to have a top five offense. So I would definitely go in the under. But I agree with you that I don't know if the drop off would be, you know, in the 20s. It would still be there's still Devontae and Aaron Jones and you know, A.J. Dillon and the offensive line. So, yeah, I know that was kind of a tricky one. A bit of a cop out because you need two answers.
No, you really do, and I appreciate you allowing me to give two answers because I had to go the safe route there. But the drop-off probably would be at least a little bit significant, right? It could be, you know, maybe not even a top 10 offense because Aaron Rodgers, remember, was playing at an MVP level last year in this offense. So it is tough to replicate that, especially if it's your first real time in the NFL. But with that, I'm giving you kind of a tricky one where you might have two answers as well. The Packers have won 13 games the last 2 years. We don't know what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers, so I'm going to lower that bar a little bit. And, of course, there's a 17th game added this year. I want the win total, Perry. over under 10.5 wins for the Green Bay Packers in 2021.
You really had to hit me with the 10.5?
You're running home with an over, aren't you?
Oh, boy. Ooh, well, okay, so there's 17 games now, which means that
11-6.
Yeah, 11-6 or 10-7. Oh, wow. So Rodgers coming back, that's an easy over to me. I think 11-6 is a really nice kind of sweet spot to be in. The schedule is pretty difficult. The Packers
it's a tough schedule. It's
not an easy schedule. Some decently difficult road games for sure. Heavy on the home games in December, January, which, you know, we love obviously, but I don't think it's totally unreasonable for the Packers to go 11-6 with Rodgers under center. Not Rodgers under center, that's definitely the under. Yeah. Yeah.
You didn't even think about that. It was instant under if it's anybody besides Rodgers.
Look, if Jordan Love comes out and goes, you know, 10-7, amazing. That would be an amazing first year. I'd be stoked about it. They'd probably sneak in, you know, get in the wild card round. That would be awesome. But I think back, Alex, to Rodgers' first season as the starter, and they went 6-10. And that's also totally expected and totally fine because you're, you know, first year under center, you're not going to, I mean, unless he comes out as Patrick Mahomes, which I highly doubt, that's not what our expectations should be. So again, if Jordan Love's under center and the Packers go 8-9 or 9-8, that feels right.
Okay, now Perry, I do want to throw this at you though, right? Rodgers' first season, he did go 6-10, and two of those wins were over the winless Detroit Lions that year. But think about the offense that year, right? I mean, Ryan Grant and Brandon Jackson were your 1-2 punch. Donald Driver, Greg Jennings, Jordy before he was really Jordy. I mean, it's not like this offense was as glorious and as successful as the team that Jordan Love would inherit.
It's interesting that you say that because I actually think that sounds like a pretty decent team for Aaron Rodgers to inherit from.
That's,
you know,
fair, but you know, it was still right. The only receiver I think that started every game that year was Driver. So I mean, it was a tough year. Like I said, Jordy wasn't Jordy, and Ryan Grant, that was his best year, I think, right? 08 or 09. I know it was in that time period. So you're right, but does it compare to the 2021 offense? I would say no.
No, you're right. I mean, you have the best wide receiver in the league, arguably, like you said, the best running back, and a somewhat unproven but exciting, you know, two punch in A.J. Dillon, the tight end that scored the most touchdowns in the league last season, the best left tackle. Like, there are definitely pieces. I also think, you know, offenses are very different now than they were when Rodgers started. Matt LaFleur is definitely a little bit more creative and can make it kind of rookie QB friendly. So I don't know, but I don't, like I said, I'm in the camp of not putting too high expectations on first year starters. And I wholeheartedly stick to that. If Jordan Love is under center, I'd be happy if I was wrong, right? If I pleasantly surprised.
Absolutely.
But he's a developmental guy that they didn't expect to start this year.
Exactly.
And so if it was next season, right, I'd be like, okay, my expectations are a little bit higher. We had 2 years, a full off season under, a full real season, right? Off season, OTAs, all that under belt. But if Jordan Love ends up being the starter this season, like it's a little bit sooner than expected. So it's okay if he has those really obvious growing pains.
100%. I can just confirm that you and I are both not looking forward to the Jordan Love era, especially if it begins in 2021. I think we're on the same page there.
Yeah, I'd like another year with Rodgers at least.
At least.
Yeah, because I don't think that the Super Bowl window is closed for the Packers by any means if Aaron Rodgers comes back. And we alluded to this earlier a little bit, I think, with the Julio Jones discussion, and I tweeted this out today kind of as a joke, but I mean it. Like, the NFC is really for the taking. It's the Bucks and whoever wins the NFC West, but that's going to be a really difficult division. And the AFC is stacked. Like, why would Rodgers want to go and play for the Broncos and have to compete with all those contenders when, if he really wants to win and he wants to win a championship, Green Bay is the best spot for that right now.
Exactly. That is the best opportunity to win now is Green Bay for Aaron Rodgers. So maybe it does take a little bit of swallowing the pride and saying, okay, you know what? This is my best opportunity once again. And Aaron Rodgers, since January has sounded like a guy who thought his best opportunity to win another Super Bowl was gone after they lost to the Bucks in the NFC Championship game at Lambeau. But, you know, at this point, we know it. I think Rodgers knows it, too. His best opportunity to win right now is in Green Bay. But we will see how this continues to unfold. And I think tomorrow is a very big part of that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's going to be I don't want to put too much stock into it, but it's definitely going to be telling.
It will. It will 100% will be super telling. I'm nervous. I'm excited. I'm just not ready for the fan bloggerism overreaction. I'm not ready for that part.
I agree with you.
Other than that, I am looking forward to see what comes out of mandatory OTAs and a bunch of coverage. We'll be right here on the Pack-A-Day podcast, presented by the Blue Wire Podcast Network. We're here every day. You might as well spend some time with us. Perry, been great to catch up with you, my friend.
Yeah, this has been an awesome episode. Do we just like Nick's Andy from now on, or like what's the deal?
We might have to tell him never to come back because we did just smash that half hour. That is Perry Goldstein. You can find her on Twitter at Perry_Goldstein. I can confirm she's a great follow. Go do it. I'm Alex Strofe. You can find me at Alex_Strofe. The show is at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Tweet us. Let us know what you think about this Aaron Rodgers saga that is ongoing. And as all the reaction pours out from what happens tomorrow as mandatory OTAs begin. Thanks so much for hanging out with us today. We'll see you soon. Peace.